That's my good buddy, Dr. Drew, over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. New fax number, 310. Don't remember the rest.
840-4051.
See, when you don't smoke weed, kids, you see what happens? You spit out fax numbers like they're going out of style. All right, Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, our guest is the love that the two hosts find between each other. But coming up, Jennifer Blank from Dark Angel.
Is she the
I have no idea. I don't know. Probably not. Yeah. We don't get the leads. No. I think she may work craft service.
Ah, got it. Okay. That's good.
We get Anderson Cooper, who's the host of The Mole, XFL Cheerleaders. Well, that'll be a good time. And our good buddy Jeremy McGrath, the Super Bowl of Motocross man.
Now that he's taken your 1-800 collect job.
Oh, yes, that son of a bitch. He's getting all my phone money. All righty. Ready to go here, Drew?
Yeah.
Brooke?
Yes.
You're 19. What's up?
Well, I've been with, like, 11 different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's a lot in, like, only 19 years, but every single one of them, not any of them, can get me to an orgasm. None of them.
That would be normal for a 19-year-old.
Normal.
Well, through intercourse, maybe, but through oral sex, you may have squeezed one off by now.
Yeah, oral, but any other way, no.
Okay.
But you may never get any other way.
Well... Is there something that can be done about that, or is this just something I have to deal with for the rest of my life?
Well, why is that important to you?
I mean, like, what's the big deal? Like, I can't really...
What is the big deal? That's the question.
That's what I want to know. That's, like, the whole point. Like, I don't understand what the big deal is.
Like, you don't like sex, are you saying?
No, it's not that I don't like it. I'm tired of having to do it myself all the time.
Well, how do you do it yourself?
Do I have to go into detail about that?
Well, yeah.
Well, oh, God. Don't talk about this anyway. I just kind of rub, like up at like around the clitoris.
I see.
Area. Yeah.
Where's that? Near the anus?
No.
Where's that, Drew?
Near chin.
Near the chin.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Mental note: clitoris near chin.
No.
All right. And all right, so you rub it around, and if a guy rubs it around, you'll get the orgasm.
Not really.
All right, but if he performs oral sex on you, you'll have the orgasm.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, at 19, squeezing off an orgasm via oral sex, you're marginally ahead of the game.
Marginally ahead of your peers.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, not just the game, I mean the peers. You're doing better than most.
Oh, okay.
And then to have it during intercourse, but ahead of the game suggests something like with the game with herself.
Yeah.
You know it does? No, only to you. I mean, you're... above the 50 percentile is what I'm saying.
Right.
You're a little ahead of the game, no matter how old you are, but especially the 19-year-olds.
Yeah. And this is as good as it gets for, would you say, most?
For most.
Yeah.
But time is on your side, and if you find the right man, and as you mature a little bit, it's maybe something that'll happen down the road.
And you might find if you actually get in a relationship where you really care about somebody.
Well, yeah, I am now, but, like, he feels bad. It makes him feel, he's like, oh, he just whines.
Does he give you an orgasm every time with the oral sex?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't ask. I get bored.
You get bored with...
Like,
you know, I was thinking about this today. You know, men, you know...
I can't stand women like Brooke, you know.
Thanks.
Well, you're getting bored with oral sex?
No, I'm not getting bored with oral sex. I just don't demand it every time. It's like, after he's done, I'm just like, whatever, get off me.
All right, baby. Well, have a good time out there with the lads.
All right.
But I was thinking about that. You and I have talked about a few times about how women can sort of take
Hold
it.
Hold on. You wonder why she's not having an orgasm? It's like I get bored. Like when he's done, I'm like, shh, get off me.
She's not involved.
You ain't going to have an orgasm for at least 150 years.
She's not involved.
Timothy McVeigh is going to be out of prison before your next orgasm.
You're not. She's not into any of the guys she's with. That's the big problem. But you know, I've talked in the past.
She's not into any guys.
But how women can kind of take it or leave it, the orgasm part.
Sometimes,
or even sometimes go to the point, nearly go,
can't do it.
Okay.
I love that.
And I thought today, for a guy, it's like when that train is leaving the station, it's leaving the station. You know, once the locomotive hits the track.
When the Chattanooga choo-choo is leaving the penis station,
It's got to be going. It's got to reach its destination.
Yeah. you wouldn't stop.
It's a freight locomotive.
Right. But I don't know what your point is in regards
to
this call.
Well, she's sort of like, yeah, I don't ask for it. Sometimes I want it. Sometimes I don't. Nah, whatever. It's, you know.
All right. Well, listen, I don't care about her. Al?
Yeah.
You're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, my friend told me that I have this special talent. And you see, I can make myself shoot without touching myself.
Right. You just got to have another guy's ass wrapped around your penis.
Not that.
No? Okay.
No, I really don't have anything around my penis.
I see. No contact.
No contact.
And how do you do this then?
Do you bend spoons and things too with your
rhythm? I think about sex.
You just think about sex. And are you on your back or are you standing up?
I'm on my back.
Uh-huh.
I'm laying down in my bed.
Do you have an erection or semen just spring forth?
You have an erection, right?
Yes.
And you're on your back.
Yes.
Ooh, two hands free for the magazine, and you just lie there thinking about sex.
I just think about sex. I don't look at porn. I don't masturbate.
Yeah.
I talk about sex a lot, and I don't believe in sex before marriage.
I see.
But I ejaculate.
Now, you're the kind of guy I'd be all right in prison. You know what I mean? No porn, no women, no nothing, no hands, just handcuffed, shackled behind the back. He's really like a Goudini.
Goudini.
Put him in a straitjacket. He's still
Spoudini.
Yeah. Sorry, Spoudini. Put him in a straitjacket. Oh my God, that is my porn name, Spoudini. Yes, write that down, Drew. That is my new porn name. I got to get into porn now just to use the name Spoudini. Have myself one of those Frenchman's penciling mustaches, wear a cape and a top hat. Spoudini has arrived, ladies.
I like that.
Watch his magic wand. Watch him pull some semen out of his penis.
Yeah.
Okay.
I flex it a little bit.
Right. And you don't. And how long does this take, Spoudini?
It usually takes about an hour to an hour and a half.
Well, listen.
A lot of flexing.
Yeah, I theoretically could coax some semen out of my penis without contact in an hour or an hour and a half. I don't know the answer to that question, and God willing, I'll never find out.
No.
It's all like, right. Listen, I might be able to start a stopped watch if I stared at it for an hour and a half. I don't know the answer to that. But you know what?
You're not going to spend that hour doing it.
No, just wind it.
Yeah.
Take it, drop it off at the mall. Yeah, all right, Alan. And Alan, let me tell you, while this is sort of a unique gift, I don't think it's going to pay big dividends with the ladies. I mean, the fact that you can have an orgasm without any contact is not a great sign.
He's kind of doing Kegel exercises while he's building this, and so he might get some benefit out of it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the thing is, I used to masturbate a lot.
I see.
No kidding.
Have you ever been with a woman?
No. I mean, I've made out with chicks, but...
What happens to your penis then?
It erects.
I see. Let me write that down.
Sometimes I get blue-balled, but...
Uh-huh. But nothing comes out.
Nothing really comes out. It usually comes out when...
All right. I've had enough.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, Spoudini.
Yeah.
Spoudini's going to do his famous water tank trick where he's shackled, hung upside down in front of a horrified audience and has an ejaculation while suspended underwater. 500-gallon tank. Rick?
How you doing?
Hey, you're 32. What's up?
Yes, sir. Adam, I'd like to say, first of all, I'm a big fan of yours. The man show kicks ass.
Oh, thank you.
This is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, what's up, Rick?
Also a big fan of yours. Back in 94, me and a friend of mine, I was into some karate and a little bit, and I had misjudged a kick that he had did, and I had got kicked really hard in the nut.
Funny already.
Yeah.
it wasn't funny at the time.
Right.
All right, what's the question?
Well, after it had happened, probably about, maybe 6 hours later, the sack got so swollen and it hurt so bad that I should have went to the doctors, but I didn't.
No kidding.
And after the next couple of days, it had turned different colors, like blue and black, being bruised. But I mean, it was swollen.
All right, what's the question?
I could not walk. Question is, Dr. Drew, what kind of permanent damage that it could do?
All right, I'm going to put him on hold because his line is bad, and Drew, you tell him what's wrong with his sack.
The testes can be permanently destroyed, frankly, by this. You're lucky you didn't get more serious intra-abdominal problems.
All right, but what about his chances for having kids?
It's hard to predict. You'd have to get a sperm count to see. If he's producing sperm, he's producing sperm. It should be fine. But there's no way to know whether or not that kick actually had an influence unless he has have a sperm count done.
Well, how would it influence it? Some scar tissue or something?
That, or, you know, spermatoceles, cystoceles can form, and or it can just shut the testes down. I mean, fracture them, kill them. It can smush them. I mean, they can
like dropping your computer?
A little bit of that, and or the blood supply can be impaired. It can be a real mess.
It's probably all right with the sperm.
Probably.
All right. Let's, I want to talk to Blair. That's true. We've done nothing but talk to guys, right? Well, one girl. Blair?
Yes?
You're 19. What's up?
I'm 19. Well, I just moved into this new place about a month ago, and me and my two lesbian roommates got really drunk one night.
Are you lesbian, too?
No, I'm bisexual.
Nice.
So, anyways, I got drunk, they got drunk, and things sort of happened, and we had a threesome. The problem is, I'm now single, and they both have girlfriends, and I was kind of hoping to maybe, you know, be more sexual with them, but it's not happening anymore. Mm-hmm. And we can't talk about it very...
Why?
I mean, we don't communicate with each other very well.
Why?
I'm not really sure. Like, I'm perfectly fine about it, but I think it's the fact that they both have girlfriends that they don't want to talk to me about it. I mean, even when it's just us three alone in the house.
Yeah.
It's like they don't want to...
Well, maybe it's because they know... Are you into both of them or just one of them?
Well, I kind of like both of them. I mean, it
wow.
was like...
You're easy. How'd this threesome go?
It was pretty good, actually.
What? How'd it work?
How did it work?
Yeah.
Well, three girls pleasuring uh-huh. each other, uh-huh. I guess.
Did you guys make the Devil's Triangle?
Pretty much. I mean...
Spudini enjoys the Devil's Triangle.
Yeah. No, it was great. I mean, it's not like I want to have a relationship or anything. I just really like sex.
Uh-huh.
So,
but you
know.
Might be destroying their relationships.
Yeah. And listen, they don't want it with you. That's why it's freaking them out.
Yeah.
If they wanted it with you, they would have brought it up.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not just that, the whole sexual thing. Like, we have problems communicating now anyways.
Well, about what?
Just anything. I mean...
Because of this threesome you had?
Yes. I mean, before that, we were, like, best of friends. I mean, we had talked about it before.
Well, listen, whenever you're good friends and something physical... I remember when I was...
You and Stu.
No, not Stu. When I was living out in La Crescenta with Ralph and Cordy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we all, you know, we blew each other one night. You know, a couple of beers. You know how it is. Weekend, nothing going on.
You told me the different story about
Made
that.
Made it anal sex. Yeah. We all got it on pretty good.
Right.
Well, and, you know, there was a little tension in the house, I got to admit, you know, for a couple of weeks.
I was friends with before, and we're now completely fine.
I see.
It's just the whole thing that it's with my roommates that really kind of gets
But listen,
you know?
Obviously you were sort of okay with this. It didn't affect you emotionally. But most people are sort of surprised by the amount of feeling that's generated from this kind of an encounter, and your roommates are no exception. They're confused about their current relationships. They've got boundary issues with their roommate now, who's sort of onto them, and clearly would hurt your feelings if they said no. I mean, a lot of conflict here.
But here's my theory. You are noticing the cold shoulder more because you're the odd woman out now.
Uh-huh.
These two are busy in new relationships, enjoying themselves, and they're probably, quite frankly, not even thinking about you.
Yeah, well,
but they're probably aware that she's into it and don't want to hurt her feelings.
I bet. You know what it's like when you're in a new relationship?
Uh-huh.
Everything else could just sort of be damned.
The thing is, I've had other, you know, sexual experiences after that. It's like this happened like a month and a half ago. And it's
But these relationships are brand new for them, right?
Well, pretty much.
All right. And they're just into that. And they're probably not paying a lot of attention to you. Mm-hmm. And you're like some old boyfriend or some old girlfriend that they don't really want to bring up, especially when they're in the thralls of their new relationship.
Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't read as much into it as you're doing it. I mean, if you guys can't communicate, well, then maybe you should sit down and talk about it. I think she's into these two.
Oh, yeah.
These two are not paying attention to her because they're into their own ass.
Mm-hmm.
And she's feeling like there's all this tension.
Right.
Meanwhile, they're just out having a good time. They're probably not feeling it.
Right.
That's me theory. Scott?
Yeah.
You're 21.
Yeah.
What's up?
I guess this is kind of geared towards Dr. Drew, just from a physician's background. But basically, I worry that I might have a condition known as Peyronie's disease.
Why?
Well, you know, obviously that's not the kind of word you hear a lot being passed around, but I overheard my dad on the phone with his doctor, and basically...
Well, older guys get Peronis more easily than a guy 21.
You sure he wasn't ordering a pizza? I had that happen with my dad.
Pepperonis?
Yeah, I was drunk. I heard him ordering a pizza. I thought he said Peronis. I went into a panic.
And so what's the deal?
Well, basically, later on, he kind of mentioned to me that he had gotten this diagnosis from his doctor, and he mentioned some of the symptoms, and he was kind of just...
Well, here's the deal with Peyronie's. It's a bent penis, but the significance starts to develop when there's problem with function, erectile dysfunction, ejaculatory dysfunction, painful erection, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And your age, it's normal to have some curve, and 800 units of vitamin D will help take that curve away a little bit.
You come and it hits you in the ass. That's your first indication there's a problem.
Yeah, hey. I guess some of it might be rooted in the fact that I haven't really been with a woman yet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Probably some insecurity.
Oh. The great Spudini is not feels gives his regards to your penis, your bent penis.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
In order to diagnose Peyronie's, doesn't one have to get an erection? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
who's examining that?
That's interesting.
You know what I would do if I was a doctor? I would say, listen.
Sometimes you can feel the plaques.
Here's a pad. Here's a steno pad. Go get an erection.
Trace it.
Set it down on here like what kids do when they draw their hand on a piece of paper and make it into a turkey. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Don't put a hat or a face on it or anything. Just drop it down on the steno pad and draw a nice outline around it and then hand it back to me.
Nice.
Your nuts start here. I would draw an arrow down to the edge of the pad.
You were here?
Yes, you're here. Because, Drew... Do doctors have to examine erect penises?
I've never had to, I must admit, and although I've never made a diagnosis.
But there's certain things that you might have to.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oh, bad times.
Well, actually, I had a guy that was shot through the penis when I was a resident.
Yeah.
And that was, got all swelled up. Because the blood went in, didn't come out.
Oh. Yeah, that hurt yours, huh? Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're fine, buddy. Take that vitamin E.
Oh, so that's, it seems...
Listen, why haven't you been laid yet? You're 21.
Well, actually, I just broke up with a girl.
Well, that explains it.
Yeah, and probably the last thing we did before we broke up was, there were other circumstances, but it was basically, you know, we got to a certain point where we were making out, and, you know, she grind on me, or whatever the past tense is, and, yeah, I guess...
All right.
Oh, man.
Scott, listen.
That was the most meandering answer I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's no answer. Well, why haven't you got laid? Because my last girlfriend dry humped me. Oh, I see. Well, so that's rough.
Just before we broke up, and we broke up, but it was complete.
Listen, Scott, you're 21. You sound like you're in the eighth grade. What's going on?
Well, I guess my main concern with the condition is just if the physics work out.
Listen.
Stop with it. You don't have Peyronie's.
I don't?
Even
you have a painful erection?
No.
Can you ejaculate?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have Peyronie's.
Good. Okay. Now, here's the part we're worried about. You spending all your time focusing on your penis, which isn't broke, and not having sex.
Right.
What are you? You're a good student, right?
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, that's the side effect, I guess.
Yeah, you go to a regular school and everything?
Yeah, UT.
Yeah, I didn't smell junior college on this one here. I smelt some scholastic ability.
You were, but you know,
Scott, you need
they have a history in that town of people climbing into clock towers. I'm a little bit worried about.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, don't shoot the freshman class. All right.
Well, in one way or the other.
All right, listen, buddy. You need to put on them cowboy boots and down yourself a few tall boys and go out and have a good time. Do you hear me?
Sounds good.
Stop focusing on your penis and stop studying so hard.
All right.
All right. There you go. Hey, and always tell a guy he gets good grades. He had, it's so funny, guys like Scott, their minds are very capable, so they devise these brilliant strategies and defenses and schemes as to why they haven't really done anything.
Oh, I wish I had a videotape.
I got Peyronie's and a girl who ground my leg.
Wish I had a videotape myself when I was 19.
Really? Me too.
I would have made
sell it to hard copy.
Scott would have looked like Spudini compared to me.
He would have looked like Carlos the Bachelor from The Flying Nun. Spudini. Oh, that's my new name. From this day forth, I will respond to nothing but Spudini. If I hear the word Adam, Mr. Carolla, Ace, I will not even turn around. Spudini or the Spudent one? All right, Brian, what's up? You're 15.
Hey. First of all, I praise the great Spudini.
Thank you. Thank you, my child.
Oh, yeah. I worship Spudini.
Thank you.
And my problem is, like, it's for both of you, actually. My girlfriend, she masturbates, like, a lot, like, four or five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know, like, what's normal and how to confront her.
Well, normal is at a level that doesn't cause consequence. In other words, doesn't interfere with her, doesn't cause her to harm herself, doesn't get in the way of your relationship or her school function, and isn't a problem to her. If it, however, it's something that she has to do where she sexualizes everything and she has to use sex to manage her feeling state in the moment, and or it becomes escalating to the point that there are mounting consequences, then that's a problem.
Okay. And it doesn't really affect her all that much.
Basically, there are two ways to real sexual, three ways to real sexual compulsivity. One is you're an addict, and it's part of your addictive process. Two, you're bipolar and manic. And three is you have a history of sexual abuse.
Fourth is falling under the spell of the great Spudini.
There could be a trifecta at that point.
All right.
Well, what would count as, like, interfering?
Well, you're calling this radio station, so there's a problem in this relationship. And that's a high degree of suspicion then.
Okay.
Were any of these things that Drew mentioned, do they match her?
Not really. They don't really interfere all that much.
No.
I mean any of these scenarios, like a sexual abuse or anything.
A history
like
of addiction,
that.
Anything like that.
Right? Not that I know of, no.
I mean, you might explore that with her, because that's what it sounds like.
Okay, I'll ask her.
All right, Brian.
Okay.
All right. If she says yes, run out screaming and holding your ears and singing the... reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
National Anthem, yeah.
National Anthem will work, too.
You know what?
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Becky. Becky's 25. No, don't like her, huh?
Oh, yeah.
We will speak to Becky. Ooh, with a very, very titillating surprise question after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Loveline. I'm the great Spudini. That is my accomplice in crime, Dr. Drew over there, my assistant, if you will.
Yeah, I was saying, at this point, I'd be your assistant.
And Spudini escape, please.
Or accomplice. Or sort of a. What's the word for somebody who's studying under you?
It's my my ward.
Yeah, your ward, exactly.
My student. Yeah. Listen, your job is to stand there and look pretty and help the great Spudini. A little less talking. Becky?
Uh-huh.
You're 25.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a question about, like, yesterday I went to see a doctor because I'm, like, tired all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, I have a question. Well, first of all, I actually want to tell you that, Dr. Drew, I think you're sexy.
Thanks, Becky.
And Adam, I love you and I hate you at the same time.
Who's Adam?
Adam.
I don't know of this Adam. I've heard the name before, but I don't know the man
personally. It's a faint memory for me now.
Yeah, Spudini does not recognize any other name, but Spudini.
I'm sorry,
Spudini. And the salty one.
I love you and I hate you at the same time.
Thank you.
But anyway, so I want to know, like, if, because I'm, like, tired all the time, and they think that I may have sleep apnea.
Hmm. Are you overweight?
I weigh about 170. I'm
5'5". No, hold on. The great Spudini is going to do his radio math. 5'5", 170, carry 3, divide by 2. That is 5'3 and a quarter, 182.
Do you snore?
Yes, my husband sleeps on the couch.
Because you snore so loud?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That could be it.
There you
go. So that's good. You can have a sleep study done?
Yeah, I'm scheduled to go in March to have one done.
Excellent.
But
March? My God.
Yeah, that's like a long ways away.
Oh, my God, our medical system's just...
Well, what do you
like
want?
Canada.
What do you pay, $5 a year in taxes? Listen.
I don't know. I actually don't have to pay for it, so...
That's what I'm saying. But, Becky, in this sleep study, you go there and do you stay for...
Yeah, now that they wire you with brain waves.
Right,
heart.
But do you go for a couple of nights?
One night. Video.
It's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. But, because they've also asked me if I'm, like, depressed.
Which is the other thing that'll give you fatigue like that.
But what are, like, signs of, like, severe depression?
It's hard to tell when you're in it. It's very hard. Well...
No, it's not. Low energy.
Low energy
is Let me tell you what depression is, because the great Spudini has been depressed the better part of his adult life. You have difficulty.
You were just spoo at that point.
You have difficulty getting out of bed in the morning. You have difficulty finding enjoyment In things that you should find enjoyment.
Things that used to be enjoyable.
You withdraw a little bit, you stay home. Basically my life.
Well, the hallmark is lack of enjoyment in previously enjoyable activities, irritability, frequent tears, guilt, worthlessness, thoughts of suicide, thoughts of...
Yes. To me, I could really put it, I could encapsulate it by saying when the alarm goes off in the morning, you lie there and think about what's ahead of you, and you don't want to do it.
Well, sometimes people have a lot of anxiety and panic with depression, so they sit up all night with their mind buzzing, and they get right out of bed. Right.
But see, so, my problem is I just feel like I have no energy.
Yeah. Well, the sleep study is a great place to start, but you may be depressed also.
Well, it could be both.
It could be both. And, the sleep problem.
Lack of sleep will make you depressed.
That's true. Give you fibromyalgia is also another outcome. It'd be interesting if she had aches and pains, too.
Yeah.
Want to ask her?
Just no.
Ask. Come on.
Oh, for Christ.
Spooey.
Okay. You know I'm a soft touch. Becky?
Uh-huh.
You have a lot of fibromyalgia-type symptoms, too?
What's fibromyalgia?
Aches and pains in joints? No. Okay.
All right. But listen, you're overweight, and you're tired, and you're snoring. How about getting some exercise and drinking a lot of water?
Well, I do exercise, though.
All right. How about drinking a lot of water?
Taking a lot of water.
Taking walks and listening to classical music.
And I also have a question.
No. That's enough. Johnny?
Yeah.
You're 28.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, I'm having problems using my orbital sander too much.
On your groin?
Yeah.
You got a random orbital sander?
Yeah, it's got...
What kind?
It's a DeWalt.
Yeah? Is it the hook and loop kind or the adhesive back kind?
No, the hook and loop.
Nice.
Yeah, and it's...
Home Depot?
Yeah, and it's got 15,000 OPMs.
Yeah, that's nice. All right, so what do you want, Jackoff?
Well, it keeps rubbing it raw all the time, and it don't take very long.
You're masturbating with the use of your random orbital sander?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am.
Now, what grit sandpaper are you using?
No, I take the sandpaper off.
Nice. Why don't you use a pad sander, use a finish sander. All those do is vibrate. The random orbital sander spins around. That'll tear your junk right up.
No, it's an orbital. It orbits. But
yeah, I know, but it has a rotating action to it that's not great on the junk.
Right.
The pad sander, the finish sander, simply vibrates. Much better on the dork.
Okay.
You understand, Johnny?
Uh-huh.
And you can pick them up cheap now.
Well, Spudini has a line of tools.
Spudini has a line of junk-related finishing tools. Just go down to the local home center, and for $43, $44, you get yourself a nice pad sander. And the pad sander, too, a lot of them have a nice velvet bottom on it. Very nice on the junk. All right?
Wonderful.
All right there, Jenny. Good times. I tell you, I think the random orbital sander is the best breakthrough in a tool in the last 10 years.
Why?
I get into details, but I would get fired. Right. But I could do 10 minutes on why this is the greatest tool in the last 10 years.
Okay.
Owen, I'll tell you during the break, though, Drew.
Oh, thank you.
Owen, you're 16.
Yeah. What's up, Adam?
Yeah. You want to know what kind of wuss my partner is? He says to me, his kids are entered in this pine box derby thing, which is basically these little cars that you do in Cub Scouts. You coast them down a ramp, and whoever wins feels good about themselves for a very short period of time. Drew says, hey, Drew does not own a tool. He wants to come to my house because my house is chock full of tools, and he wants to essentially...
Take over.
Pimp the kids out to me for an afternoon, have me build these things.
Well, you offered that. I'd love to go there.
But. Yeah, so what's he say? He casually... I say, yeah, sure, no problem. He says, how about Sunday? Drew, Sunday's the Super Bowl.
Oh,
you retard. Like, I'm going to spend all Sunday in the garage with your kids.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you for offering
that. Oh, my God. You didn't even know Sunday was the Super Bowl.
No, I did.
Yeah. Why did you ask to do it on
because
Sunday?
Because I was obsessing about when the hell I was going to get these things done.
Oh, my God. Listen, leave those kids alone. You're gonna give them both eating disorders. Owen?
Yeah.
You're 16.
What's up, Houdini? You're the man.
Spudini.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. I go to, a real small private school in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really have a lot of hot girls there, you know?
Right. Does it have the word... crest or pine or mountain or ridge in it?
No.
Hmm.
Is it a new school?
No, it's 25 years old.
Okay. What's it called?
St. Margaret's.
Oh, I see. Well, it's a religious school.
Anyway, I'm not a real attractive guy either. I'm real tall, real skinny. And lately I've been having these feelings for this other guy in my grade.
Yeah, I don't know about this call already.
I don't either, because why would he say the name of his school? Yeah.
No.
The great Spudini is
the name of the school.
Yeah, but now you're describing yourself. We don't know if it's you. You may be trying to embarrass somebody else.
Yeah.
And so...
you know you're so full of crap,
no,
Owen.
I'm not.
Why would you describe yourself physically, say the name of your school? I did ask the name of your school, granted. But you shouldn't give that up, give up your physical description, and say that you're having homosexual feelings for one of the other boys in your school.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Oh, come on.
See? Sorry.
Yeah.
That's all right, though.
Sorry,
we like Orange County.
We appreciate it.
All right. One second.
No. What did he say?
I don't know what he was saying. True, you're very sharp. Mark?
Yeah.
You're 25.
Yeah,
I was a little tipped off, and he said, I'm not very attractive. Most guys think they're hot for some unknown reason. Mark, you're 25. What's going on?
Well, he gave up the name of the school too easily, too.
Right.
I've been on chemotherapy for about a year, and I've been wondering if that could make me sterile or not.
What's your kind of cancer do you have?
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And what's the chemo?
I started off on chlorambucil, and then I'm on Flodara right now. And then he's talking about maybe if my lymph nodes are going down, but not as fast as he wants them to. So he's talking about maybe going on antibodies, too. And we have one child already, but we've been kind of talking, you know, that maybe it isn't such a good idea to try to have another one because maybe of birth defects or something, you know.
I don't know of any of those causing birth defects, but some chemo will suppress your sperm count, so you can't get conceived. But you should talk to your oncologist about this. Do you know what kind of cell type you have, lymphoma?
Oh, I can't remember.
How long you had it for?
Almost a year. And actually, I've had it for probably a year and a half, but I didn't go in there until probably 6 months after I started feeling stuff.
Where were the... Is it a stage...
It started in my neck.
Is it sort of a stage four now? It's all over the place?
Yeah. Every one of my lymph nodes was inflamed.
Okay. And things are cooling down a little bit?
Yeah, they're going down, but they're not going down as fast as he wants them to.
Okay.
So.
Well, keep going.
And I heard that one show where the guy was talking about he had it for like 2 years.
Well, there's different cell types of lymphoma.
Yeah.
Right? And some are very slow and indolent, and you can live for a long time without chemo. Some are very progressive and rapid and actually respond well to chemo, but will really harm you if you don't get them treated rapidly.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're in some sort of intermediate cell type, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Good luck.
All right, Mike. Good time, sir.
Yep.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that would have killed somebody 50 years ago, eventually?
Not eventually.
Soon?
Yeah.
And is it curable now?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the popular layman's consensus about cancer is we haven't beat it yet.
89% of cancers are curable now. It's the solid tumors are not.
I know, there's this feeling, which is cancer still on the menu? Yes. Have we figured out a cure for it? No. All right, so we've made no progress.
Yeah.
But the reality is we've made a lot of progress with it.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's talk to Robin, who's 29 years old. Robin?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I guess to put it in a question, my question is my flirting, my excessive flirting with my coworkers, a social problem?
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
All right.
What do you mean?
I would never act out on any of them.
You what?
I would never act out.
But you got to have that male attention.
I do.
Why?
I crave it. I don't know.
All right. Hold on. We got to take a break.
Wow.
Okay.
We'll get to the bottom of why you crave this male attention. I'm guessing it's got something to do with daddy. But again, just a guess after this.
Hello. This is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey. Loveline. I'm the great Spudini, and that is Dr. Spoo over there. And the phone number, 1-800-LVE-191. Now, when we left off, we're going to Robin. Robin is 29. She's married, flirts at the office with the coworkers.
She asked if it's a social problem. I don't quite understand what that question even means.
I think she means, is it going to cause trouble with the coworkers?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Meaning, are they going to think you're up to something more than you are, or they're going to get irritated by it? What do you mean?
Yeah. Are they going to It's unprofessional, I'm sure.
What kind of environment do you work in?
I work in the technical field.
And
I'm a technician, and it's mostly men. I get along with the women as well.
Hmm. What do you fix?
What do I fix? I tune filters for microwave communication radar guidance systems.
Oh, ask her about the fog.
Yeah, what about cell phones? How does cloud coverage affect cell phones?
I'm new in the field, so I'm not the one to ask. I tune the filters. I work in a lab.
Hold on a second. How come there's not a chick alive that knows anything? Do you know what I mean? There just ain't one born that knows anything. How does that work? Even when people do stuff, they don't know anything. She tunes radio filters. I have a question. Drew and I were just talking off the air about cell phones and if cloud coverage affects it. Don't all you idiots call up and tell us the answer. We decided it did already. Now I'm really expecting some definitive explanation on this, and I get nothing. Robin?
Yeah?
How do you tune radio filters and not know the answer to this question?
Well, they're not radio filters. They're radar systems.
For what?
For the military.
Using microwave Airport. Technology.
But using microwave technology,
yeah.
Right?
Like cell phones.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, now, how does the cloud coverage affect that? How does that affect it?
I would imagine it would cause interference.
Why would you imagine?
Noise.
Wouldn't you know that, though?
I'm new into the microwave field.
Give her a break.
All right.
I didn't call for this.
I know. No one calls for what they get on this show. That's the beauty of it.
So what's the question?
The question is it inappropriate for
yes.
me to hang out as one of the guys and be involved in the guys' conversations and in the sexual connotations and be a woman?
Well, listen, it depends. You know, I was just thinking, I'm going back to work on the man show. There's a bunch of women there who are most all spoken for. And they hang out, and they chew the cud with the guys. And there's plenty of that energy going around, and it doesn't amount to anything. It's just sort of it's like piping in some music people like at work. Does it mean everyone dances? No, it just means it's kind of around, and it makes the place a little more lively, a little more enjoyable.
But try to explain what it is you get out of it.
I don't know. I like the attention. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, most women do.
So you're willing... So even though the attention is around a discussion of material that you worry is not appropriate and you're really sort of not even into,
right.
just because it arouses guys and gets them directed at you, then it's okay. Think about how you compromise yourself when you do that. Just be careful.
Where's Daddy?
Where's Daddy?
Mm-hmm.
He's very present in my life. I'm Daddy's girl.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. He gave you enough attention?
Yeah, I think so. I get plenty of it.
Was he an alcoholic?
No, not at all.
Huh? Oh, heroin?
No.
Ludes?
Not at all.
Rainbows, as we
say. He doesn't even drink alcohol.
I see. Doctor told me I had to stop. His liver was going to give out?
No, not at all.
No, but you say you're Daddy's girl.
Yeah.
Why?
We just get along really well.
I see. And you guys spent a lot of time growing up together? You're around him and with him?
I wouldn't say a lot of time around him, but he was a major influence in my life.
Do you feel like you're trying to get his attention growing up, though?
Probably. Always. Yeah. Sure.
Hmm.
That's what I think this is coming from. And was your dad busy with work or distracted somehow?
Always busy being the provider, yeah.
Being what?
Being the provider.
Right, so he worked. What did he drive a truck?
Oh, no.
What did he do?
Aerospace.
Mm-hmm. So he long hours kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wrapped up in his work?
Sure.
And you wanted the attention from him?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's what this is. It's a remnant of that. I mean, what's that? I don't know what she was going to say. She's trying to get Daddy's attention, and now she tries to get Guy's attention.
Right.
All right, she's not acting on anything. It's fine.
She likes women, too, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Says a lot.
Hey, do you remember trying to get your parents' attention?
No.
You're just hoping they didn't bother you, right?
Yeah.
Hear them coming up the stairs. You pretend like you're asleep.
Yeah.
Pull the covers over your head. Right?
Sure.
Put the chair in front of the door. Yeah. I think I had that myself. Although we didn't have any stairs. Jessica?
Yes?
You're 19.
Adam, I just wanted to say, okay, I like this Italian guy. He's, like, totally gorgeous. And
Adam.
We went.
You're talking to the great Spudini?
Yes. We, like, went on our first date the other night. We just went over to his house last night. And I think he's totally gorgeous, but he, like, wanted to watch a porn with me. So I, like, watched a porn with
him. First date.
How did that work?
What do you mean?
I mean,
well, I've been friends with him for like a long time, and like I liked him for a long time, but I didn't like know if he liked me. He like came over and saw me a couple times. We never like did anything, or we were just like really good friends. And then like I hadn't seen him for a while because I like had to go away and do some stuff. And so he like
breathe, Jessica.
Huh?
Nothing.
And so I want to know if like. Do you think that he's just trying to have
I just want to know how he came up with this porn thing out of the blue. I mean, and
no, okay, well, we were like, we drank a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say booze.
Okay, and so we were just like sitting around, and he's like,
did you have sex?
No.
Really?
We didn't do anything. He just said, we were just like sitting there, and we were actually at his friend's house, and he was in bed, and he's like, do you think that's weird if I ask you if you want to watch porn with me? And I'm like, no, okay.
Whoa. It's weird.
Who was in bed, the friend or him?
No, his friend. He was in bed, but he was like, he has his own house.
But it's weird, first date, huh?
Yeah, but I like know him really well. He's like my really good friend.
It's weird, though.
What?
Oh, that explains it. Adam, of course. Of course.
The great Spudini comes from Italian heritage.
That's right. And look at Spudini's behavior.
Dare you.
Well, if that's exemplary of any Italian's behavior, that I could see how young Jessica could conclude that all male Italians watch excessive porn.
Too, is because he asked me to give him a back rub, and I like didn't say anything. I just kind of back rubbed. I don't want him to think that I don't like
Jessica, listen to me. First off, I don't know what you guys were doing watching porn and not making out. But number two.
Well, I wanted to, but I don't want him to think I'm like slutty or anything.
All right, here's the deal. I don't want to burst your bubble, but I don't think this guy's that into you.
I think he's using you.
What?
I don't know if he's using you,
but
I think he's a little ambivalent and not that into you. Let's discuss it. The jury convene for a second.
He's too prone to just putting all the cards out. You know what I mean? Risk-free behavior.
Look at it this way. When, fellas, guys or girls, close your eyes. Picture yourself going out on a date with someone you're really into, as opposed to going out on a date with some old girlfriend, someone you knew from high school, someone you've known for a while, someone you're maybe friends with. Maybe you have some feelings for, but not really. Think about the difference. Think about washing the car. Think about getting the haircut, shaving, getting dressed, what you wear, the cologne you put on, the way you act. Let me open the door. I'll pay for that. You look lovely tonight. Mm-hmm. And think about your behavior when you're not really that into the person. Here's the reality. When you're trying to impress somebody, you don't say you want to watch porn.
No.
You're worried that might turn them off.
Right.
But if you're not worried about what they think of you, then you just do what you want.
Right.
Pick your nose, break wind, go Dutch, whatever it is.
Yep.
There's a big difference between how you act, and guys will do that. Here's my other argument. He's known her for a long time, has never done anything.
Mm.
When a guy's really attracted to you or into you, he makes a move.
You know it.
Yeah. Let me just, Jessica?
Yeah?
Yeah, how long have you known him?
For like 2 years.
Mm-mm. Not good.
Wayne, he didn't make a move before this.
Yeah, he did make moves on me before, but I like didn't like let him do anything because I didn't want him to think that I like, I don't know, got around because I'm not like, I'm into him. I'm really into him.
Yeah, but he made a move like, hey, hand me that Mickey's Big Mouth and could you blow me?
Yes, he did. He
yes.
had to give him a blowjob.
Yes. There, thank you. Thank you.
But he's one of those guys.
The great Spudini has spoken. Of course. He's not that into you. He just isn't.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, baby. But you know what?
I know, but guys always use me.
I know.
I have really big boobs, and I'm not to be conceited.
Hold on, baby.
I'm pretty good looking, and I always get used for my body, and I don't want to be like that.
Hold on a second. Let's get back to them boobs. What size are they?
I said that I have
What size?
36C.
36C.
I'm 5'5". I weigh 125 pounds.
Solid.
Blonde hair down to my waist.
Yeah.
Blue eyes.
Yeah.
But guys like me for my body, and they want to have sex with me, and I'm not like that. I'm not that kind of girl, and that's why I don't want to do anything with him, because I don't want him to think that.
Okay, but listen, if he was into you as a girlfriend and not just as a conquest, he wouldn't have asked for the BJ. You guys wouldn't have known each other for 2 years without him asking you out. He would ask you out on a date. He would try to impress you. Do you understand?
Yes.
He's not into you that
way.
Once again, you've managed to find a guy who is not into you that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, my dad was an asshole, so I think...
There you go. Bingo.
All right. So, your dad was an a-hole.
You already
know a-holes, so why don't you try something other than an a-hole?
Yeah.
Ryan.
Yeah.
26.
Hi.
You have constant blue ball pain.
Yeah. And there was a discharge, too.
Okay.
What kind of discharge?
It was like a clear discharge. Actually, I went to the doctors, and they took a culture,
mm-hmm.
and it... they tested for STDs mm-hmm. and everything came back negative, but he said that in the culture for the discharge, they found some white blood cells. So, but they still didn't know what it was.
What's wrong with the white blood cells?
It just means inflammation.
All right.
Infection.
All right. So, I was going to use this as sort of a cliffhanger, but who cares? I mean, fine.
I'll answer when
you
get back.
No, you're fine.
It's complicated.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, listen, come on. They found white blood cells, so he has an infection, so they gave him some antibiotics.
Yeah, that didn't work, though.
Because he has epididymitis, and it keeps going. And so.
Okay, but what's Drew going to tell you that the doctors aren't
about
telling
you? You can talk about what epididymitis
is. All right. We'll be back.
Back in a minute.
Yeah, love line. I'm the great Spudini. That is my partner and accomplice over there. My assistant, Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Yes?
Your scribe.
Yes, my scribe.
Squire, excuse me.
Squire, thank you. Hand me my cape and hat, please. Thank you. And now, look pretty. I think one of your fishnets has a run.
I'm not done preening.
Ryan?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of preening.
I thought I might get you going with that one.
Who was that? What was the name of that critic that tore me a new a-hole? What was the name of that fat F? What was the name of that guy? Oh, big syndicated critic. What the hell? Oh, man. I can't think of his name, and he is so lucky. But listen, you fat homo, if you're listening as we speak, Monday, well, you're heading into your dank office to crank out another bad review that no one will read. Guess where I will be heading? In to start my third season of The Man Show, the show you love so much.
Now, just don't you think he has a right to criticize whoever he pleases? Let him stew in his own stuff. Don't worry.
Absolutely. But they get personal.
Well,
why can't we get personal?
He didn't get personal.
He didn't get personal?
Just called you Neanderthal.
Called me Neanderthal, the third evolution into becoming a wolf man.
I would have taken
a pompous jackass and called you an idiot, too.
But I thought the part about having no showmanship was sort of a compliment.
Lacking showmanship, yes. If that ain't a buzzword for gay, I don't know what is. All right, Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I've had like...
Tom Shales. That is the fat feminine guy who wrote that horrible review. Thank you, Tom.
I hope he at least did it honestly.
Who, Tom?
Followed his own conscience with it.
I'm sure he didn't. Go ahead, Ryan.
Okay, I've had a constant blue balls feeling for the past.
All right. Oh, you, yes.
Yeah.
And you have the discharge and you have the white cells in there. And what do they treat you with?
They gave me some doxycycline.
Right.
They thought it was a...
Right, that'll cover... No, they thought it was an STD, and they'll cover the chlamydia and whatnot with that.
And that didn't work. And then...
did they give you an anti-inflammatories, like Naprosyn, Aleve, anything like that?
No.
Sometimes that's a little helpful. Sometimes also helpful to give you medicines that help the bladder evacuate more freely, like Hytron or Flomax, although you're kind of young for that kind of stuff. And then if it doesn't clear up, which it often doesn't, because this is probably epididymitis, which is an inflammation or infection of the little packaging plant that sits on top of the testes. They commonly get infected. Prostate gets involved sometimes, too, with that. And it can take a long time to clear up. So you have to take antibiotics and or anti-inflammatories for an extended period of time sometimes.
He gave me some Kypro. Was it?
Cipro.
Cipro?
Yeah.
Would that do it? Or
that will help, but you're going to take it for a long time, probably.
All right. Good times. Marcus?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you're 15. What's up?
Yeah, I've got, like, I don't know if it's a social disorder or something, but, like, lately I feel like whenever I'm around people, I want to, like, beat someone's head in with a random object mm-hmm. to random people.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
somebody beat you up?
Do you want me?
Did somebody beat you up?
No, never. I'm a second degree black belt, but I've never lost a fight.
Like, no, listen. First off, I kick your ass. Second degree black belt, don't mean ass to me. That's nonsense, all that karate BS with the hands down by the hips and the ki-eyes and all that
kind
of stuff.
There you go.
Yeah. Nonsense. All right, you're right-handed?
Yeah.
Your left hand is worthless. That's karate. All right. Was your dad rough with you?
I haven't met my dad in like 11 years.
That's one of the things about not having a dad, is having difficulty containing aggression.
I see. Because you need a disciplinarian in the family?
No one knows why. The presence of a male, the one consistent thing that comes out of literature about fatherless children is that they can't have trouble. Think of your jack-off friends. Mm-hmm. The ones that didn't have dads?
Well, they had dads. They just weren't around.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I know. No, you know what? They all had dads. They did. They were just wild. You know, my friends were like hyenas.
Aggressive.
Yeah, but not in a malicious way, just in a rowdy way. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Marcus?
Yeah.
I thought, by the way, when you got into martial arts, that you were supposed to learn, you know, respect and esteem.
Yeah,
and
well, that all went down the crap hole.
Why? What, did something happen recently?
Nah, well, I don't know. I just don't, like, I don't know. I had, like, a drinking problem and stuff. Like,
are you doing any speed or anything like that right now?
No, I used to, though.
This may all be from whatever it is you've done to yourself.
Yeah, well, I used to, like, go through, like, a quarter of tequila, like, every 2 days.
Oof.
Like, 15?
Yeah, 15.
When did this start? Stop, rather.
When did it stop? Like, yeah. 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, this could all be withdrawal.
Yeah.
Irritability from withdrawal. Marcus, you got to see someone.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Before you do really hurt yourself or someone else. Well, you can have a seizure, you can get DTs, you can be a mess here.
Really? What size bottle of tequila?
Like, a quart. Like,
750?
I don't even know. I just grab one from my bar and it would just be there. Like, another bottle would be there like a week later, so I drink that too.
Well, now, hold on. First off, you said you went through a bottle every 2 days.
Yeah.
Who at your bar, at your house?
Yeah.
Is replacing a bottle of tequila every few days?
A lot of people. Like, I used to live in a big house, and, like, everyone there was over 21 but me.
Why were you in a foster home or something?
No, with my family. There was, like, 7 of us in the house.
Where'd you live, at a TGI Fridays?
No, like, with my mom and my cousins and stuff.
Was there a lot of boozing going on?
With my cousins, there was.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If I'm living in a house and I'm replacing, $12, $15 bottle of tequila every 3 or 4 days, I'm starting to ask some questions. Like, who's drinking all the goddamn tequila? Nobody asked that question?
Yeah, well, I would just be like, I don't know. I don't feel good. I got a headache. I'm going to bed. And they'd be like, all right, whatever.
All right. So what made you stop drinking?
Well, it wasn't so much. I had a bad LSD trip recently.
Oh boy! See, this is all drug related. You're feeling, Mark, and you might do something yourself or other people.
I used to cut myself a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Listen, you got to start taking care of yourself now.
Well, I'm trying.
You need to talk to somebody.
Well, what should he do?
See a doctor. Any healthcare, you got to get in touch with them.
Wow. Well, I've been through like 5 or 6 therapists, and they don't help. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, stay with it. Listen, Marcus, you don't have a choice. You're going to hurt yourself or hurt someone else. And then when you hurt someone else, you'll hurt yourself because you'll end up in jail.
Okay.
All right. So listen, stop the substance abuse and talk to a therapist. Get back in touch with that side of you that worked that stuff out. And what about the second degree black belt part? What about all the discipline, all the classes, all the work, all the sweat? Where'd that come from? How do you do that and be an alcoholic at 15?
Yeah, that's addiction, you know. I mean, it's
all right. Well, why don't you get back into your dojo and say hi to your shidoshi for me? All right, take those shoes.
What's
off.
A shidoshi?
Hey, shidoshi.
What is that?
Hey, hey, shidoshi.
Okay,
that's a master.
Well, that's
a spudini of the karate world.
I see,
or as I call it, karate. Thank you,
Megan.
Hi.
15.
I was just wondering if you needed to take, like, counseling for, like, repeated molestation.
Yes.
That would be a yes.
Like, even if you're pretty much over it?
There is no over it. And we were talking about this, like last night, and I thought it was a good sort of analogy for people to help understand the profound effects that these traumatizing experiences have on you. Just think of a puppy dog that gets, like, the crap beat out of it several times. What's that dog going to be like now as it grows up? It's going to be aggressive and or withdrawn and pull away from people. And you could be loving and caring for that dog for the next 10 years, but it would frequently and probably always still kind of have that edge of an aggression that's been sort of inbred into the biology of that dog from its experiences. Same thing happens to people as it pertains to aggression, and the same thing happens as it pertains to sexuality. When kids are sexualized or abused in this way, it has a profound effect, and you don't just deal with it.
What happened to you?
Well, since I was 7, I've been molested repeatedly by different guys, and it kind of stopped recently.
Starting with who?
Babysitter's nephew, I believe.
Hmm.
And then going on to what guys?
And then going on to babysitter's husband, but different babysitter.
Okay.
And then dad's friend.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. What's your dad like?
Dad's an ass. Jerk.
Yeah. What's he do? Work around metal?
No clue. I haven't seen him since I was 13.
I see.
He's an alcoholic, drug
Great.
Addict.
Fantastic. Oh. And where's mom? Is she all right?
Yeah, mom's good.
She got a step? New hubby?
Yeah.
Oh, really? How's he?
He's good.
I don't trust him.
I don't really care. Well, he's cool and everything, but he's young. He's like about 11 years older than me.
I see.
26. How old is she?
She's 40-something.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, boy. He's in so far over his head, he can't even see the light. Oh, my God. All right, Megan. Yes, you must get some help for this. Okay?
Well,
that's all right. It's important.
Well, the thing is, I haven't really told anybody because I was so little, I didn't know anything was wrong. And then
right.
as I got older, you know, I figured there was no point because nobody's going to get in trouble.
Does your mom know?
No.
Well, it's not so much about getting revenge or retribution. It's about healing the trauma. And as I said, think of that dog that now lives in a loving family. It doesn't automatically become okay. And those sorts of traumatic experiences affect your biology sometimes permanently, or at least certainly profoundly.
Yes.
And no amount of just sort of dealing with it is going to make that go away. It takes a lot of treatment, right. a lot of work. You don't just deal with that.
She should start by telling her mom and yep. then telling her mom she wants to get some help.
Or counselor at school, something like that.
All right. I want to talk to Jack, who's 16. Jack?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I'm going to be going to a party this weekend where there's going to be a lot of mushrooms. And I've done a little dose before it, but I'm thinking about doing like a whole eighth, which people are telling me is a whole lot.
Yeah.
And
why are you thinking about doing so much?
Well, a friend of mine has said it's pretty order. Tight. And
trying to figure out my drug, my old mushroom drug weight thing.
All right.
So you're talking about doing an eighth ounce.
That's right.
All right.
Look, mushrooms.
How much that is.
But any large dose.
I don't think that's that much.
All my friends, they always say, like, do a little under half an eighth. That'll be fine.
What happened the first time you took the mushrooms?
Well, I took about a quarter eighth, and I watched Gladiator.
Good
that was
times.
Crazy.
Yeah. Now, did you see trails?
Yeah.
So you did. You did kind of trip.
Oh yeah.
But you didn't just feel high.
Oh yeah, I was going crazy.
You were.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Going crazy.
Well, I mean, it wasn't like barely noticeable or anything. Like, it was really any different than anything I'd ever felt.
Yeah, you could feel it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about mushrooms: they're kind of hard to quantify.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell because it's a bunch of like stems and heads and stuff, and it's hard to figure out how much you're taking.
Yeah.
You get a rough idea, and then they vary quite a bit in potency. So why don't you, if you're going to do it, why don't you start light and you know. See how you feel.
Yeah, good advice.
Because let me tell you something. If you have a bad trip, you'll really freak out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I always kind of thought that was a bull.
The bad trip thing?
Yeah.
No way, man.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my buddy the Wheeze about his cousin who spun out one night. And I mean, like, you know, calling the cops and out in the street and chicks, you know. They're such lightweights.
That.
But, yeah, I mean, it can really spin you out.
And look, this
mushrooms
is
mushrooms especially. I mean, you can freak
you
out.
You are profoundly altering a delicate chemistry in your head.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't
Why do does it surprise you that it can go wrong?
With high doses or regular doses or both?
With anything, but high doses are obviously much more likely.
Yeah,
and
obviously.
They're also more likely to cause permanent damage.
But you don't really know what a high dose is exactly. I mean, you can have a rough idea of it, but you never can fully tell depending on what you ate, what kind of mood you're in, how powerful the mushrooms are.
Yeah, yeah.
You could come on to them and start freaking out, and before you know it, and at that point, it's too late.
Hey, Adam, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I miss the stories, man.
I don't have any more stories, though. I'm only repeating old stories.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you, buddy.
Maybe you need to get off your ass and get new experiences, you know?
I was thinking about
stories for the show.
I was thinking about experiencing things for myself, and then I thought, well, why don't I just pay Oswaldo, who's already working on my house, to go out and have experiences for me, come back and report them to me, and then I could talk about them on the radio as if they were my own.
Lower risk.
Yeah. That way I don't miss anything on TV, and I don't have to put my shoes on.
Spudini.
All right, Jack.
All right.
Good time. So take it easy on your brain there, buddy. All right.
It could be an interesting sort of sitcom, Spudini and Jack.
Yeah. And the other sitcom we were working on last night, which was Lung Baby.
Oh, man.
I'm going to write these ideas down. Lung Baby is a baby that was conceived during oral sex, you see, and actually grew in the mother's lung, killing the mother and always feeling responsible. Do you know what I'm saying?
Did you hear that Bruce Becker thing where his wife, or was a former wife, is alleging that she, or he's alleging that she impregnated herself by taking some semen in her mouth, putting it in a turkey baster, and then putting it in herself?
Who's Bruce Becker?
What am I thinking of the right name? The tennis player?
The German guy?
That's not Bruce. Boris Becker.
Boris Becker, right. Really? That's nice.
Isn't that wild?
You think...
It's possible, right?
Sure. Interesting scenario. Weston?
Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
Yeah. Adam, you're a great guy.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, how long do shrooms stay in your system?
A few hours.
How long?
A few hours.
Are we just talking about this?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Listen, you can be going for about 5-6 hours.
Yeah. But you're gonna be under the effects of it for maybe a long time afterwards. But in your system, people have a grave misconception about continued effect of a drug versus its residual effect from having it profoundly influenced your brain chemistry.
Listen, if you take them at 9 o'clock at night, you'll be really peaking probably about 10:30 or something like that. Maybe an hour, hour and a half later, you'll basically be high all night.
Right, but I mean weed. Like stays in your system for like up to 30 days.
No, not necessarily.
But
well, weed stays longer.
Weed stayed in your fat for your life, but in terms of measurable quantities, it's out in a week or so typically.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why? What are you doing?
Well, no, I mean, I went to a party just last weekend, and we were all tripping out on shrooms, and
wow.
I was just wondering like. How long, like, they're going to stay in my system.
Shrooms making a night, big comeback.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Again,
my friends and I go out and pick them.
Good times, buddy.
Digging through cow pie?
Yeah, we live in a farm town, so.
Nice. But the,
Do you actually get them out of the cow duke?
Yeah, we go out with shovels and turn them over.
Oh, they underneath the cow crap?
Yeah.
I didn't know they grew underneath them.
Yeah.
How do they grow underneath? Don't they have to sort of sprout forth?
Well, no. There's a real low tolerance of oxygen under there. So.
And who put the first one in their mouth?
Well, hold on a second.
Listen. Go out and wash them first.
Who ate the first crab? You know, but Wesson, give me your theory again. Low oxygen.
Yeah. They're a fungus, right? So, funguses. I don't know.
Okay, how's it going there, Wes? How's biology going? I just thought that the mushroom looks like a mushroom, and anytime I see a mushroom, the mushroom on the ground, they grow up and out.
Right, but a lot of fungus don't need a lot of oxygen.
They're anaerobic.
But how do you flip the thing over and have it, how does it physically protrude upward when there's a cow load on it?
Does
it go into the load?
Yeah.
Right.
It's up into the crab.
Yeah.
So the head is in the cow crab.
Now, you expect this to look like an Alice in Wonderland mushroom.
No, it does look like a mushroom. It looks like a mushroom, I think.
It's more like flat little...
Yeah, that's all like stem, but there's heads on it, and it does kind of come up. Well, I've never seen one in a while. Anyway, Weston, easy on your brain, buddy.
All right, there's one last one.
Yeah.
How many of the juggies have you actually had sex with?
14.
Really?
Yep.
I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
All right.
Good times. All right, let's go ahead and speak to Michael. Michael?
Yeah?
16, what's up?
Not much. First off, I'd like to say, hey, Drew.
Hey, Michael.
I was about a year ago at University of Illinois. Gave it a
look there. Yeah.
And like to say that was really cool. I was probably like the only high schooler.
I was going to say that was mostly college kids.
Yeah, and the thing, but I would like to point out that you know, you're a funny guy, and you know, a lot of times the great Spudini steals a lot of your thunder. So you know, just let people know that.
Oh, thanks, Michael.
Yeah,
yeah.
He won't be doing it. Hand me my cape. Yeah, hand me my wand so I can make Michael disappear.
Your wand?
Thank you.
Okay. Anyways, my question is, I just recently started taking Celexis because I got diagnosed with depression about a week and a half ago.
All right.
Basically, I moved out to Eugene, where I'm living now, from Illinois. And, you know, just the whole move and trying to settle in and stuff, it's just been a lot of stress on me. And so I got diagnosed with depression. I'm starting to take it now, but just as I'm starting to take it also, I'm starting to fall in and, you know, make friends and go to parties and stuff. And, well, you know, I'm going to parties, so I'm going to want to do some drinking. But, of course, I know that there are certain antidepressants where drinking does not exactly mix.
How about the mushrooms?
No, don't do that. You're 16. You obviously shouldn't be drinking. There's no dangerous interaction with small amounts of alcohol in Celexa.
Okay. Okay, because I talked to some people. They said, like, Ibutrin can cause, like, heart attacks and seizures and stuff. Celexa will just increase the effects of alcohol.
Well, it's just not a good idea to put them together, and sedation is part of it.
All right.
Wellbutrin, he was talking about. Wellbutrin can cause seizures.
We're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we'll talk to Caitlin. Caitlin is 17, has no feeling in her nipples. And as you know, Drew, I have sensitive nipples, and therefore the great Spudini enjoys some nipple play.
You guys can make a great couple.
All right. Yes, Jack Frat and his wife. We'll be back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
Hey, it's the Loveline. I'm the great Spudini. That is my assistant and partner, Dr. Drew, over there. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
I guess I'd actually be the apprentice.
Yeah, I'm still looking for the right word. Squire, ward.
Squire.
Assistant.
Close.
Okay. Second. Caitlin?
Hi.
Hey.
I'm 18, not 17.
Good times.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's like the area around the nipple. It's not the nipple exactly. It's the circle thing around it that I have, like, no feeling in.
Circle thing around it. Got it.
Yeah.
And also, it's...
Do you need feeling in that part?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's completely numb. It's sort of weird. I was just making sure that it's okay. And, like, also, when I'm, like, having sex or, like, you know, doing it myself or whatever, mm-hmm. like, if as soon as there's penetration, I lose feeling in my clit.
Oh, that's interesting. I've heard of that.
It's really weird. It's like I can't get both at the same time, and I lose all the Cosmo good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you look like?
I'm short with brown hair.
Yeah.
I'm vertically challenged.
Uh-huh.
I'll drive over there for you.
I don't mind that. I don't mind those little women.
Hey, you said a couple days ago that you wanted to just kick little people. We're like those little dogs.
Yeah, I do feel that way about guys, really, but not so much women. Oh, no. Little women can be a pain in the ass, too. But little skinny women are a pain in the ass. Little people are like little dogs.
I'm voluptuous. I'll be okay.
Are you?
Okay. Not to the fat part, but just to the...
You got some curves.
The boobs. I got the boobs with no feeling.
Yeah. What size are you?
30-40.
Nice. All right. Well, you know, some women with larger breasts do have a little sensation problem, don't they?
That's right.
So
I pretty much, I look at it as the radio being farther away from the tower, so the communication isn't quite as good. The signal's not as strong. The farther the nipple is away from the chest, the less the sensation.
Probably, I don't know this for a fact, but skin sensors are sort of a certain number per unit area.
Mm-hmm.
And as you stretch the skin out, that number remains the same, so the amount per unit area starts going down.
But that's then, wouldn't then... fat people be less sensitive? And what about just big people? Just large people?
Think about how much it hurt to get a shot when you were 5 years old as opposed to now. Same basic principle.
Because I've lost my will to live?
That and the density of receptors.
I see, we're spread out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll buy that. But it seems like big people, just like their noses, ears, and feet were in proportion, that their skin sensors would be... in proportion to cover that amount. I mean, their skin being an organ.
But you'd have to assume that they start with more when they're little. to anticipate the growth, and I don't think that's the case.
Well, the skin sensors don't multiply as the skin.
I don't think so.
Stretches
not so much.
So are you saying that we're all born with the same amount of skin sensors?
I believe that's true.
A 400-pound man theoretically would have less sensitive skin.
I think that's true.
Marginally less sensitive than a small person who's more condensed.
I think that's true.
Interesting, Caitlin.
Uh-huh.
Or something close to that, I believe, is true.
All right, I'm sure.
So there's not like a cancerous tumor in the way.
No.
Why does your clitoris shut off when you have sex?
I have no idea. So I can't get the both thing. Like as soon as there's penetration, like the second that I have like that sensation, I lose the clit.
Yeah, you got to sort of work on that.
Maybe there's some sort of vaginal shift or something that goes to the opening and away from the clitoris.
But, yeah, I mean, it's like to the point where I could pierce my clit and I wouldn't even feel it probably.
If a guy was in you?
Probably.
You'd probably get a discount over at the piercing place.
I think I just might. That might make some for some good, you know, porno things. Nice pictures. I'll send them to you.
Well, hold on a second.
Uh-oh.
You starting to worry a little?
Yeah.
Should I get into a little line of questioning here?
Sure. Well, it's going to be something unusual. Okay. Whatever it is, it's not going to be the usual line of
questioning.
Caitlin? Yeah?
Parents hippies?
No. I was just kidding.
Sexual abuse?
No.
It's going to be something very
weird.
I was totally just
lots
kidding.
Of moving. Moving.
Moved around a lot as a child?
No.
Big family?
No, I'm only child.
Mm-hmm. Aha!
Aha, the spoiled brat.
All right. All right. You all right? Everything's good?
No, yeah, everything's fine. I was totally kidding. I promise.
No, it's good times.
No worries.
Hey, baby, I believe you.
Okay.
Yeah, you sound very adjusted, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Okay, baby.
All right, good.
Yeah, you're all right. Get yourself a nice boyfriend. Work it out.
Okay.
All right, Toots.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Take care. All right. Aaron.
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
My question is, I put my clitoris under running water to get off.
Well, hang on a second. Spudini.
Yes.
Is that sort of a detachable instrument or some type? Then,
yes.
Yes.
That's right. She's in the oftentimes in the next room.
Right. She puts it under running water.
Studying the Bible.
Yes.
All right. So you put your clitoris under running water.
Yes.
And it gets me off.
I see.
And my first question was, I would go halfway through the day and my underwear would be wet from the water and discharge, obviously, throughout the day. And I was wondering, first of all, if that was unhealthy.
So you get in the tub.
Right.
You spread your legs.
Right.
You let the water run on you.
Uh-huh.
And it fills up.
It would make sense that it fills up, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it should come back out right away.
Yeah, when you stand up, it should come out. But, you know, sometimes when you've been swimming, you're like driving home and you do that thing with your ear and there's a little water in there. Mm-hmm. You do that thing where you bonk the side of your ass and a little water comes out of your vagina.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's...
Well, that's like you with the jacuzzi jets.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's where I first figured that out.
That's right.
Oh, you're Adam? You figured it out at a jacuzzi?
Mm-hmm.
Or not Adam's jacuzzi? Spudini's.
I figured it out. Well, I figured out a jacuzzi.
Not because of Spudini's jacuzzi stories, though.
No, okay. I've never listened to Love Line before. I just happened to be driving home tonight.
How dare you?
Yeah. Anyways, but my other question.
All right.
No, let's talk
to
you.
I didn't like her response to that.
Hey, it's new, a new listener. Why not?
I don't like new.
I like no.
I like old.
I want to speak with her. Aaron?
Yeah?
Your other question?
I have had a boyfriend for over a year, and we had tons of sex. Like, I love sex. And then ever since I've been doing this, I've been totally disinterested in having sex with him.
Mm.
And I love having sex. I love, but this gets me off way more than sex.
Yeah, but that's not love, is it?
No, and that's why I want to know, like, I mean... Well, is that sex never going to be as good as that? I'm waiting for him to be, like, as good as I get off.
We would suspect that you're not into this guy as much as you might think you are.
That might be the reason why I am not going to have sex with him.
Yeah, it's more that the physical sensation is sort of a good reason to divert yourself, but the reality is you're just not invested in this guy. And
a woman's vagina will tell her whether she's into a guy or not.
Oh, it's like a divining rod.
Yes. Yeah. The vagina will do the talking for her. You know what the vagina sounds like? Sounds like the ferret from the Budweiser ad.
I thought it would be like more like Senor Wences.
Tonight. I'm in love with him, Mr. Vagina, aren't you? No! He's no good! But he's so dreamy. I don't like him! But he's tall. He has a job. The vagina has spoken! Tonight. Well, I'm going to go on another date. Is that okay? No, it's not all right. It's all right? No. It's not all right? It's all right. It's all right? It's not all right. You find a new man. But I like him. No. Then the vagina has spoken as the last word. You want the yeast infection? I will summon one. Mm! No, 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 no. No, no. How about the nice urinary tract infection? No, no. It's okay. It's okay. I'll dump him. That's right, you will.
Okay.
The vagina has spoken. You show me a woman who says, I like this guy, but when is the sex going to be as good as when I'm in the tub?
She doesn't like the guy.
I'll show you either a screwed up woman or a guy or girl doesn't like the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was a little angry.
Well, you know, if she hadn't just so quickly gone to, you're right, I don't like this guy, we would have gone down that line of thinking.
Jason?
Yeah?
You're 30.
That's right.
What's up?
Great Spudini, I'm humbled by your presence.
That is all right. Hold on, the vagina wants to say something. Thank you. It's all right.
What's up, Jason?
Not a lot. I just wanted to tell you about that I have a lot of respect for you. I've called a couple times before, and you've helped me out.
Good.
Thanks.
Uh-huh. Anyway, I just wanted to know, I'm thinking about going into recovery, and I was wondering about what kind of a sponsor I should choose. I've been probably a marijuana addict for about 8 years.
I was going to say, I can hear the laugh when you're just sort of giggling.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, and...
Actually, you've been off it recently?
What's that?
You've been off pot recently for a while?
No, are you kidding me?
You're still doing it.
I bowled it earlier.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I know. So.
What is that?
But also, Jason, one of these guys who smokes so much weed, he's become proficient high.
Yeah, but it's like marijuana prevents you from completing your laugh. It's like, you can't quite.
There's no follow through.
Yeah, no laugh.
Yeah.
I'm kind of one of the high IQ donors that you guys were talking about.
Right.
I mean, I scored 1310 on my SATs.
So. Nice. All right, what's up?
Anyway, I just wondered, I'm also gay, and I think I may be somewhat of a sex addict, and I wondered if I should choose a sponsor who is, or maybe if it matters, or...
It shouldn't really matter, frankly. Sex addiction is a very common part of addiction in general, and it's a difficult thing to treat when it's a prominent part of your addictive process, and it's something that needs specialized attention.
Uh-huh.
Start with, though, just a good sponsor in recovery, MA. Somebody's got at least 5 years under their belt. If you want someone who's gay, that's fine. It helps sort of give you an opportunity for connection on issues that straight guys may not quite understand.
Yeah, like a BJ.
Well, but that's the problem, is that if you are a sex addict and that other person's recovery is not intact, there could be some boundary issues, and you got to be careful. Just get somebody that's got a long time in sobriety, and go to some SA meetings also and get a sponsor in sex addiction recovery.
Jason,
I feel like sometimes I really, kind of endanger myself because I tend to get really high, and then I'll go do something and I'm afraid that I'm going to,
I suspect, I
practice strict, safe sex, so I'm
listen,
afraid that I'm going to slip. So.
I just suspect you get involved in just a addiction recovery and the addictive sex will also settle down.
Jason is one of these guys, I have this theory about sort of brain power and IQ being, almost like the engine, and oftentimes cars go off the road and they get caught in a drainage ditch or in a mire, and you need a lot of torque and horsepower to sort of pull yourself out, even if you're knee deep in it.
Yeah.
And guys like Jason, even though he has addiction, even though he has some difficulty, has a sort of base of intelligence that will help him eventually get help and get his life straight.
Hopefully.
I do believe. Sometimes the addiction is more powerful than the brain. I think Jason, who's an intelligent guy, I can hear it, is asking the right questions and gonna get himself some help and gonna get himself out of the mire. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. I'm going to urinate, Drew. Would you like to watch?
It's Spudini.
Someone has told, the last time the great Spudini urinated, he peed on his cape because someone was not paying attention, holding it out of the way.
I'll try better this time, sir.
Thank you.
Hello? Who is this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Bip. Bip. Loveline. Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew over there. Let's hop on the phones and speak to a young... Uh-oh.
Three.
Oh, yeah. It's a great Spudini. Thank you. Oops. Oh, I see. Was that me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ted. Ted. Caller goes.
Oh.
Oh, there you are.
Oh,
yeah.
Too bad. Okay. We thought you were sleeping.
Me and my girlfriend, we've been together 2 years, and she's a virgin, and we've been trying, and it's just too big for her, I guess.
You guess?
Yeah.
What happens when you try?
Well, we use lubricant and everything, and when I try to put it in, she just says it hurts too much.
Well, that's not a size issue, right? Because you never even get it in.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Well, if you can never get it in, it's a size thing. Do you have a big penis?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hold on. I have her vagina on the other line.
Oh, no.
No! No, I won't do it! No, get it away from me! No! No, no! No! Take it back! Take it back! Don't drag it! Take it! Put it back in the underpants! I'm sorry, Ted. Her vagina is not a big fan of your penis.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm 36. Vagina. Hey, are you you a big guy?
No, actually, I'm 5'8", and I weigh 110 pounds.
5'8", 110?
Mm-hmm.
With a huge dork?
Yep.
That is awesome. And that makes it look even bigger.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, yes, it does. It does. Hey, you know, remember...
Spudini, settle down.
What I'm saying is, you take a six-year-old kid and put him in his dad's wingtips. Right?
They look huge.
Look huge. What if, even if dad has a small foot, you put that six-year-old in those big shoes, what's he looking like?
Huge.
Huge. There you go. All right. Ted?
Yeah?
Is your girlfriend a big gal?
No.
What's she coming in at?
She's, 5'8" and... I think 115 pounds, 130.
She's a few inches taller than you?
He's 5'8".
Or they said 5'6".
Same size, I believe.
All right, then she's a couple inches taller. Listen, Ted.
Yeah.
How about some lubrication?
I've tried that.
How about the fact that she's not ready? And this is just a spasm of the muscles down there because of her anxiety and ambivalence about doing this act with you. Huh. And that's the most common reason that women have pain with penetration is that they're either having vaginismus, which can be sort of a chronic recurrent problem. Some of that's caused by a reflex spinal mechanism.
How old is she?
She's 19.
Mm-hmm. All right. Why is she still a virgin?
I have no idea.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
You never asked her that?
No.
Well, maybe there's something up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is she ever traumatized?
I believe I heard her mom.
You know what? No.
Don't believe it?
No. This is, I just want to call about a big penis.
You really?
Well, let's hear what I would say about the mom. I'll bet you. Watch. Right.
You believe you heard her mom say what?
Say that her uncle molested her or something.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just between house, school, and pass the potatoes?
Huh?
When did you believe you heard her mom mention that?
When I was down at her house in San Diego.
What were you doing at the time?
My girlfriend was at... school and
when this conversation occurred.
I was it was breakfast with her mom, we were just having breakfast and
how did it come up?
Well, basically she asked if we ever tried it and I kind of denied,
And she talked about her uncle molesting her?
Yeah.
I sort of believe it in a retarded way, although Ted's doing a great job not selling it.
Yeah.
No?
I could crack him.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
You were. When was this here in San Diego?
Huh?
When were you in San Diego?
Oh, this was a few months ago.
A few months ago?
Hey, Ted, answer the questions quickly. Here we go.
And
ready
she
go.
Was. And she was in school?
Yes, she was.
Where was she in school?
She goes to Metro... it's a special school, I guess. I don't know.
A high school?
No, it's a kind of a college.
It's a special college?
Yeah.
For what?
Okay, both her and I have muscle problems, and she didn't get the same education as I was. I guess she's a little slower than me, a little.
What's the muscle problem?
Muscular dystrophy.
Is it myotonic dystrophy?
I'm not sure.
All right, listen, I believe him.
Right.
Where did he come up with muscular problems? Right. Ted.
I have a congenital muscle myopathy.
I understand. Some sort of muscular dystrophy.
I'm sorry it was aggravated by Drew's verbal assault. I was with you all the way. And so was Miss Vagina. Yes, I was. I said, Ted? Yeah, maybe the fact that her uncle molested her, and I know her mom just mentioned it in passing.
Mm-hmm.
You and she said, like, you want your eggs basted or over easy? And,
Uncle Lou.
Some molestation, Uncle Lou. That's probably what's causing the trouble.
All right.
And it's an emotional thing for her, and it's like what Drew said. She's having a little of that vaginal spasm thing there. You got to just take it slow and be reassuring. She has to be relaxed, right?
Yeah. Hmm.
She has muscle problems.
Yeah, what
and
kind of muscular dystrophy? Yeah.
Why the hell is he coming up with that?
I don't know.
What did you see? He said metro school.
Yeah.
He said it was a special school.
Yeah. All right.
He said they have muscle problems. He then went into his specific type.
All right.
How dare you, Drew?
Mm.
This poor lad with a large penis is on death's doorstep.
No, he's not. And,
how dare you attack this? He suffers from MD. Muscular dystrophy?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I wonder if he has McArdle's disease or something like that.
Jeffrey?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, here's the deal. Well, while I'm in bed, like when I'm still asleep, and I don't know nothing, and all of a sudden I wake up and I've got like stuff all over my underwear. Masturbate all my... I don't know. It just kind of sucks.
Why don't I believe anybody tonight?
I don't know. It's getting
it's just too bizarre.
You're 19?
Yeah.
And you wake up with stuff on your underwear?
Yep.
And is it your stuff?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because, like, at night when I'm about 2 o'clock in the morning, between 2 and 3, about once or twice a week, I wake up and I get, like, this stuff on my underwear.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know when I do it.
Yeah, but maybe you're having
what
they call a wet dream there. Nocturnal emission?
But I'm not dreaming.
Yeah, but that's the way you don't remember the dream, but you're having something going on.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's God giving you a hand job.
All right, dude. Adam, you rock, man.
Hey, listen, why don't you whack off before you go to bed?
Okay. What do you just?
He doesn't know how to do that.
Yeah, no, listen.
Toothbrush.
Yeah, I use a thumb and my two favorite fingers, and I give it a little lick, like you'd see before Bart Starr threw a pass, you'd see him do that thing. Gets a little grip on the ball.
All right.
Yeah, you masturbate, Jeffrey.
Okay.
You're 19. Did I have to tell you about that?
Yeah, I just started, like, about 2 months ago.
All right there, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, your body's sort of gotten ahead of your brain.
Hey, speaking of your brain, what are you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here in bed, talking to you guys.
Are you in school?
No, I'm done.
Done with school.
Yeah.
Got done.
What are you off to now?
College.
Where?
It's down in Portland.
It's called Junior College.
Yeah.
There's actually a Junior College.
It's called Pre-Junior College.
Pre-Junior College?
Yeah.
It's a junior college prep program.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. All right, have fun over there.
All right, man.
Smoke a lot of cigarettes, hang out at the snack shack, see if you can score some weed.
All right, man.
All right, good times.
All right.
Yeah, let me tell you what goes on at that junior college.
Whew.
Nothing. Bunch of white people shouldn't be allowed to go to junior college.
Why?
Why? Because the only cultures that really use the junior college are the Asians and some of the other country. Some of their cultures have come to this country to make a better life for themselves.
I see.
The white folk, black folk, half the Mexican folk, they don't really use it.
I see.
It's only the ones who came here. You know why?
Why?
Because they should have been going to regular college. They just moved here.
Mm, I see.
They didn't have the money. They didn't have, sometimes the records and things like that, transferring and all that. They'll be off at a regular college in a matter of months. White people should not be allowed to go to junior college.
Okay, Adam.
Think about it.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
You've never been to junior college.
No.
You'd be appalled if you saw what didn't go on over there.
Mm.
All the white people just sit. The Asians, they were doing, so they were going somewhere. White people just sat around, scored weed. Sat around and complained about the man. Ate granola bars. Nothing. I'm telling you. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 17. What's up?
Well, I used to have the class right before lunch, but it was English class, and I was really attracted to my teacher, and I just get erected in class, and I can't ever control it.
Yeah.
You're 17.
And it gets to the point where I'd have to go home at lunch and masturbate before I came back to school.
Sure. Nice. You were forced to. You had no choice.
No, I didn't.
What are you going to do? Your jack's up against the wall. So, very punny tonight. I don't know if you noticed that, Drew. Not funny,
just,
punny.
I'm always getting erections, and I can't control them. I just...
Yeah. Why don't you... You wearing Levi's?
No, I wear baggy jeans.
Yeah. Well, wear tighter pants and double down on the underpants. And when you get an erection, lift it up and put it against your belly. It'll kill it.
Yeah, I know. I gotta do that sometimes.
Listen, I haven't given this speech in a couple of days, but Drew, an erection starts out hanging down toward the ground, starts to move up, meets some resistance, which are your genes in class, begins pushing against them. Like, you ever see animals in the wild, like a rhino scratching itself against a tree stump, starts leaning on it
hard? The erection is caused by a increased inflow. So if any pressure decreases that inflow, it can kill the erection.
You take the penis, and instead of having it push up against the pants, reach down, quick move, boom, it's a Slim Jim move. It's like breaking into a car. Pow, against the belly, and then it begins draining into the sack.
Nah. All right.
We'll be back.
Oh, yeah. Everybody now.
Loveline will be right back.
Yep. There you have it. Another fabulous love line in the can, as we like to say. Yeah. Drew?
Jennifer Block on Sunday?
Yeah. What day is it?
Today's. I was thinking it was Thursday, but it's Wednesday.
There you go. Good times, buddy. All right. So, until next time, this is Spoudini for Dr. Drew. Say mahalo.